This is the AgriTalk podcast brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions. This is pretty wild. Okay, first it looks like trade talks with China are making dandy progress. Then administration officials let some helium out of that balloon. And just when it looks like the farm bill was getting floated to 2019, key players suddenly can't get the vote started soon enough. How's that for some turns of events?
From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk, agriculture's national talk show since 1994. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for joining us again this morning, everyone. Happy Friday, and welcome to AgriTalk. Holy smokes. I mean, attitudes can change quickly in Washington, D.C. I guess that you probably already knew that, but wow. On Wednesday, Senate Ag Committee Chairman Pat Roberts was all discouraged over the lack of progress on the farm bill. And then late yesterday, the chairman pulled a 180 and started talking about passing the farm bill before Thanksgiving. Now, my first thought on that was Thanksgiving of what year? Well, evidently, Chairman Roberts is thinking about having the bill passed by next week. That's a welcome relief on that front. And, of course, we continue to monitor what's happening on the trade front between the U.S. and China. There is momentum. And some of the things that a few weeks ago we said that we wished were happening, they are happening now. But while momentum is building, some in the Trump administration are trying to reel in expectations. We'll discuss why that is happening, and we put together another great team to discuss these issues and more on today's Free for All. Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer will be here along with Iowa Farmer Pam Johnson. And sitting in for Sean Haney today is Tyson Redpath from the Russell Group. Looking forward to talking with Tyson this morning. And, of course, we want you to be part of the conversation. Give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. If you'd rather let us know what you're thinking via Twitter, just send us a message. And when you do, include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. Right now, let's bring in Clinton Griffiths. Clinton, hey, it's the end of the week, and it's another busy week, man.
Oh, my gosh, right? Yeah. Usually, as we kind of inch toward the holidays, things get a little bit quieter pretty soon. You know, there's not much to cover. Harvest is just pretty much over. All the tillage field work's done. Uh-huh. Congress is, just limping through another year. Things just get quiet. But I have a feeling the next month may be as busy as we've ever seen it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like we're setting up so much, that week after Thanksgiving, all this stuff's going to happen. And then you got, there's just, 12 days of legislating days left for Congress, and they've got so much to get done.
And think of the new House members that need to get ready and introduced to their roles. I mean, it's been kind of fascinating to watch that whole process with the new House members maybe opening their eyes for the first time to what's really taking place and what they've gotten themselves into by getting elected to Congress,
right.
Clinton.
Well, I know. You here on the House side, everyone's jockeying for positions and, trying to say, well, we've made promises here. We need to be doing this. And we've promised our constituents that. And, I know that the House side's had its own fair share of things. And then yesterday I saw a video of Mitt Romney shaking hands with Paul Ryan. Just kind of surreal.
Yeah.
Just some interesting stuff happening.
Did that step you back in time a little ways, did it?
No kidding. Hey, you got directions to my office, I think was the caption.
Oh, my goodness.
So, it's just kind of a weird start. And, of course, that's kind of where I'll start the news today. The market's reacting Thursday, it seemed like, to that China news, that we got word that China had returned a written response. And the Chinese Commerce Ministry coming out and saying, hey, those high-level trade talks are happening. They've been going on since that phone call, earlier this month. They're maintaining some close contact. But USTR Robert Lighthizer kind of throwing a wet blanket on all of that. saying that another round of U.S. tariffs has not been put on hold. The market had kind of said, oh, well, maybe there's not going to be another set of tariffs. They're going to work this out. So the two leaders, they're planning to meet, you know, later this month, the 29th-ish, somewhere around there. Yeah. We haven't heard for sure.
Yeah, Droopy Dog keeps trying to reel in the expectations. I mean, Wilbur Ross keeps trying to reel in the expectations.
Yeah, he's trying to keep expectations tempered, you know, and I think the rest of the, you know, not let the market get too exuberant over all of this and saying, hey, it's probably going to be 2019 if we even do get to a framework. Yeah. It's going to take a little. And I don't think we didn't know that, Chip, but, you know, hearing them kind of temper those expectations.
Yeah, if anybody thought that President Trump and President Xi were going to meet at the end of this month in Argentina and be willing to sign an agreement that ended the trade conflict between the two countries, they were crazy. That was never going to happen.
Oh,
never going to happen.
Right? No, it's gonna take time. I mean, these aren't little issues. Like you're talking of, like the U.S. is asking for China to change some intrinsic things about ways they've operated for a while now.
Right.
So, I mean, these aren't like little things like, hey, you know, you think you could raise that tariff from or lower that tariff from 10% to 7%. I mean, that's not what we're doing here. These are like how things work type questions. So,
well, you know, and this is a point that I wanted to bring up with Tyson and Jim and Pam as well. But later I want to talk about really what we're doing here is questioning the developing country status of China in the World Trade Organization. Really what we're saying is it's time for that to end. The world's second largest economy cannot be a developing nation.
Right.
Yeah.
I think at this point, yes, that's a fair question.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Even though they do have, you know, big parts and big portions of their population that still may live in that developing world environment.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. The president, he's set to travel out to California Saturday to visit with some people impacted by that deadly wildfires out there. He's already approved a state of emergency declaration, major disaster declarations for those areas. Death toll, Chip, continuing to climb. It's up to 65 now, 600 more people now missing. They raised that from 200 missing to up to 600 missing.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
I mean, it's still happening out there. I've seen several tweets and folks on Twitter trying to deal with looters, protecting their property and their farms and ranches out there. So, just a pretty rough situation still happening with those wildfires out in California.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not like people have just, you know, when you've got 600 people that are missing.
Right.
You would think that, oh, okay, well, they just ignored the evacuation orders. Well, in a lot of cases, and we've talked about this. I mean, I'm talking about things that I've already talked about, but that fire is moving so fast, Clint.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
It blows me away how fast it's getting on top of people. They can get the evacuation order and start to load horses immediately and still not make it out of there.
I know. Yeah, that fire is moving an incredible, incredibly fast. I saw something. It was like a stat that is like 8 or 10 football fields. I don't know. I can't remember the amount of time, but it was like a minute or something like that. I mean, it was crazy how fast it was burning.
Yeah, stay out in front of that.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Stay out in front of that. Clinton, have a great weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, talk to you later.
All right, that is Clinton Griffiths from Ag Day. When we come back, we're going to get this free-for-all started. We've got Pro Farmers Jim Wiesmeyer, Iowa farmer Pam Johnson, and Tyson Redpath from the Russell Group next on the free-for-all.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Commodity Classic is the place to chart your course to success.
We enjoy the seminars, the education part of the seminars, the networking, the equipment, the technology and the equipment, and just to make sure that we're on the right path and what else is new going on so we stay ahead of the game.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused, educational, and agricultural experience. February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
When you think of Palmer Amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
This holiday season, Syngenta is partnering with North Carolina-based hunger relief group Rise Against Hunger to help feed those in need. The hashtag Rooted in Ag holiday campaign asks folks to generate a holiday photo frame at SyngentaThrive.com and share it with the hashtag YouShareWeGive. For each share, they will donate $5 to Rise Against Hunger. We're joined now by Syngenta Communication Manager Wendell Calhoun. Wendell, why is a campaign like this important to Syngenta?
Thanks, Chip. We work hard every day at Syngenta, supply growers with the tools they need to put more food on the tables of families all around the world. Now, this campaign is a reflection of that partnership and of our shared pursuit of a better, brighter future. We partnered last year with Rise Against Hunger, and with the help of the ag community, we're able to donate $10,000 to their hunger relief efforts, and we'd love to hit that goal again this year. Like you said, folks can head over to SyngentaThrive.com and upload a photo to our tool and add a holiday frame to that photo. Now, every time they share that new photo with the hashtag YouShareWeGive, we'll donate $5 to Rise Against Hunger, up to that $10,000 goal.
And that $10,000 can make a lot of difference in a lot of people's lives. Thank you so much, Wendell. The campaign runs through December 15th. You can find more information over at www.syngentathrive.com.
You could win a Ford F-150 Raptor in the Ag Explorer Truck Sweepstakes. Enter at trucksweeps.com.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. It's Friday. That means it's time for a free-for-all, and we have got quite the free-for-all team for you today. Let's bring in Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Jim, hey, you get the opening comments. How you doing today, man?
Pretty good. We've got things going in the opposite direction. Looks like a solution is near for the Farm Bill. Resolutions on China, not near.
Yeah. It's going to take a little bit of time here, and we're going to get into more of the details of why it's going to take more time there. And you heard what Clinton and I were talking about. It's really fundamental questions now surrounding the trade status of China that we're talking about, right?
Absolutely, and they'll fill in the blanks. We could have an ag agreement in framework and then fill in the blanks on some of these other structural issues, Jim.
You know, one of the neat things is we continue to hear President Trump say, you know, if we're gonna talk at all, we need to include agriculture in the conversation.
Oh, absolutely, because he knows the die has been cast on the soybean market. I think what traders and others are not talking so much about is what's China's at least initial reaction to returning to the soybean market after there is an agreement. Will they not purchase nearly the amount of beans they have in the past? I think that's probably going to be the case.
Yeah, that's going to be a question that is going to take a little bit of time to answer, too. No question about that. Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer and an official with Mazal. Pam, how are you today?
I'm really good, thanks.
Good. Did you get done?
Yes, finally. Monday night wheeled out, but, you know, things have really come to a halt here. There's still some corn in the field around here, but We've got 7 inches of frost, so the tilers are done and any tillage is done. So quite an end to a very challenging year.
It happened in a hurry. The end came along in a hurry, didn't it?
Yeah, too fast, really, for everybody to be prepared. And, you know, what it's like fighting those last few days when we've had rain and everything. I mean, everything is frozen up from the dryer to all the augers. And so, hats off to everybody that's still out there plugging away.
Yeah, keep at it. Keep safe and keep at it. It's been one of those falls for a lot of people. Tyson Redpath with the Russell Group out in Washington, D.C. is the third member of the team today. Tyson, welcome back to the free-for-all.
Chip, thanks a lot. Good to be with you. My spirits are renewed. It looks like we're going to have a productive lame duck session of Congress, so I'm anxious to get to it.
Okay, open it up. Let's talk about this lame duck session of Congress. What do you think's at the top of the priority list, and where does the farm bill slide in?
Well, the foremost objective is to make sure the government stays open. I think you heard clearly from leaders on both sides of the aisle yesterday, and even for the president, saying that there's no desire to shut down the government come December 7th. December 7th is the day when our current funding for a number of agencies, including the U.S. Department of Agriculture, expires. So Congress needs to do something by that date to keep the government open. You know, what's interesting about this debate is that typically the big funding fights occur over the Department of Defense and the Labor, Health, and Human Services Appropriations Act, which funds the Department of Health and Human Services. Those have already been taken care of. So 75% of the government is funded into next year.
Okay.
It's the remaining 25% we've got to take care of. And I think the end is in sight for the Farm Bill. How that all comes together in a bigger package or a segmented package remains to be seen. But I think there's good news on both fronts.
Jim, how are they going to get this Farm Bill done and when?
Well, once you have an agreement with the four conferees principals, either as soon as today, Pat Roberts was saying maybe by Monday, it's going to take several days to write the legislative language. You got to get the final scoring from the Congressional Budget Office. So it looks like the week after they come back from the Thanksgiving recess, perhaps the week later, as you go into the spending bill, it looks to me like one option is to attach it to that major spending bill that Tyson talked about. Yeah. And if everything falls apart again, which I don't think so, on the farm bill, then they'll just have a one-year extension on the spending bill. But it's a much improved atmosphere today from what it was.
How does that happen?
Thursday.
How does that happen?
I think Senate Ag Committee Chairman Pat Roberts, a good friend, actually, of mine, just got up on the wrong side of bed on Wednesday, apparently, and pointed some fingers that you should never do, at least as a lawmaker, especially at your own party. I think he got the word, by the way, from the higher-ups. It was never at the finger-pointing stage, or shouldn't have been, Chip, because there's been give on both sides. And the commodity title, food stamps, I've been told, has been rectified. There's no, well, I won't say any problem, but that's been mostly agreed to. Some in forestry management, some in the conservation program. But to me, that tells me they're almost done.
Tyson, are you hearing the same thing on the nutrition title?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think Jim hit on two areas that I don't know that anyone would have predicted even weeks ago would have been the major hang-up, but obviously with the extremely life-altering situation in California, forestry has become, and lest anyone forget, forestry is in the USDA, but the forestry provisions have become an issue, and you know, I'm told that when the parties sat down to negotiate in earnest, there were some 40 outstanding issues in the conservation title. So, you know, it looks like those are two big things that they need yet to resolve. And I suspect on forestry, given the politics of it and the state of California being represented by what looks like will be the two – highest ranking officials in the House of Representatives, there's clearly going to be a difficult negotiation on what to do in forestry as it relates particularly to California.
Right. Pam, this is, there's issues still to be resolved, but it does sound like everybody's committed now to getting to the end zone with the Farm Bill.
Thank goodness, right? I mean, there's, 12 days left? So it's time to get moving and get this done. It's just beyond belief, I think, that we can't get it done. And so I'm really happy to hear the news that it's getting really close.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And part of the reason as a producer, Pam, that we need it is because it's that time of the year where producers are going in and working with their bankers, and we need to have the certainty of farm policy and everything behind us as we sit down and have those conversations and start prepping for the year ahead, right?
Well, exactly, because I think, as Jim alluded to and we'll get into later, there's so much uncertainty otherwise that this needs to be something that basically you can take to the bank, because we all know getting operating loans is getting harder and harder. And so the ability to have crop insurance and take that to the banker and explain your risk management program for the next year is critical.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're looking for that major spending bill to go through. Maybe it includes we attach the farm bill to it. Tyson, what are the odds that we attach extension of the biodiesel tax credits to that spending bill as well? Could that happen?
Improving by the day. I think it remains to be seen. I think, Chip, what else is in that tax package? I think there is a desire to include so-called technical corrections to last year's tax reform bill. I don't know if House Democrats will play in that game. What they will want to see come out of the so-called tax corrections that are included in that. And then, what does Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer want to see in that tax corrections bill? So I think the chances for extenders are improving vastly. I think it just remains to be seen what else in the tax code goes into that, what the cost and the score is, and what vehicle it gets attached to. I'll say this. If it doesn't happen before the end of 2018, I feel very good that a return of the biodiesel tax credit in particular will come in 2019, if it doesn't happen before the end of this year.
Good. Pam, I can hear our friend Greg Anderson over in eastern Nebraska cheering out loud for that one.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is good news. But, Chip, then you also have to look at the other side and look at ethanol and see that, RINs are now down to 7 cents. So basically, the big oil doesn't have to blend a lot of ethanol in the fuel. So, yes, even though E15 looks like it could be coming down the pipeline, as we talked before, doesn't mean squat if we keep doing these waivers.
Waivers. Amen, Pam. Amen. Let's talk more about that when we come back. We'll get Tyson's and Jim's take on that subject on the free-for-all.
We're live on the red carpet, waiting for the next generation Credenz soybean. There he is.
Oh, Ed, look, it's Credenz Liberty Link GT27.
I know, Adna. He's got elite genetics.
You gotta love his 4 bushel per acre yield advantage.
And he's both Liberty and glyphosate herbicide tolerant.
Definitely the year's hottest performer. Ask your Credenz retailer about the new Credenz Liberty Link GT27 soybeans.
Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Don't miss your chance to win one of 2 brand new John Deere Gators during the Valent Fully Loaded Sweepstakes. The 2019 John Deere Gator is the ultimate utility vehicle for getting things done. Fast, powerful, and capable of handling payloads up to 1,500 pounds, the John Deere Gator works just as hard as you do. Enter for a chance to win now at valentfullyloaded.com. That's valentfullyloaded.com. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Ends March 10, 2019. See official rules for details at valentfullyloaded.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
Let's do a check of the markets here, bring in the experts from Pro Farmer, and joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, when I take a look at what the markets are doing here today, it's kind of tough to pick a spot to start because there's not a lot of direction. I guess what we'll do is we'll go to soybeans where they're under some pressure here this morning.
Yeah, Chip, we're seeing now about 5 to 6 cent losses, so we're dropping to session lows here. I think a large part of that is tied to the trade stuff. You know, it's been a lot of headline stuff with trade, the trade side in soybeans this week. And the latest is they're kind of just pumping the brakes a little bit. And it looks like a framework deal at best late in the month here when Trump meets with China's president. And no real solid deal until sometime in 2019. So, it's pulling us back some in the soybean market. And that's having an influence on corn, which is about 3 cents lower now.
Yeah, you know, if we wanted to start with the good news in the markets, we probably should have gone straight over to the livestock trade and see what's going on in lean hogs. What's happening there?
Well, the hog market's screaming higher this morning. News that China confirmed a case of African swine fever in a wild boar. And I think that probably has the market juiced up just a little bit here because it's really tough to contain diseases when it gets into the feral hog supply. And as a result, we are moving sharply higher, like I mentioned. Now, the cattle market's pretty quiet, to be honest with you. It's pulling a little bit of support in some of those contracts from hogs. But we're still waiting on cash cattle trade to develop. And as a result, we have narrowly mixed trade in the live cattle market. Feeder cattle are under moderate pressure so far this morning.
Yeah, and that feeder cattle market under a little bit of pressure. I think we're just looking for some stability coming into that market. We've got another cattle on feed report again next week. Thanks, Brian. That's Brian Grady on Markets Now.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, Farmer-Focused Podcast. It's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. It's brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. It's a free-for-all today. We are talking with Tyson Redpath from the Russell Group, Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, and Iowa Farmer Pam Johnson, who at the end of the last segment brought up the topic that I want to start with Tyson in this segment, and that is the RFS, the value of RINs, the waiver situation. Yeah, we got E15. It looks like it's going to be available year-round. That's great news. That's longer-term development. But we could give this market, the ethanol market, a quick shot in the right spot if we could get some assurances, Tyson, that the waiver situation that we went through this last year isn't going to happen again in the year ahead. And I'm not too sure we can do that, can we?
Well, look, the waiver situation is a matter of law. Those who believe that they have been unfairly harmed economically can petition the EPA for a waiver. I do expect that the number of waivers and certainly the number of waivers approved will ebb. I think that, you know, the EPA now has released a dashboard so that everybody can see sort of how much has been waived in the quantities that have been waived. Part of the reason is certainly that for the depressed RIN prices that exist. You know, there's a lot of ethanol out there, but But you have to remember, too, the closer we get to E15, that has a bearish impact on RINs, right? Because if you're putting more supply out there,
yep.
And I think the president is absolutely committed to E15. I think the EPA and USDA are working arduously to try to get this done, and I think they will early in the new year propose a rule to do that. The threat of litigation is always overhanging everything when it comes to renewable fuels policy, and so they've got to take care to make sure that this rulemaking is absolutely legally defensible, because I think they know they're going to get challenged on it. But RIN prices in E15, you know, if E15 moves forward, you know, RIN prices are not going to be as high as they once were.
Right.
The RINs, you've got the plunge in crude oil prices, and that's significantly lowered gas prices, and that's eased the blending of, you know, biofuels, especially for the non-mandated, you know, volume. So that's cut into the margins, and I think may have to shut down some high-cost ethanol plants.
Yeah, well, the discretionary blending right now seems to be pretty low, and I until we see some kind of a price recovery in crude oil and unleaded gas prices, it's going to – you're right, Jim. I think the discretionary blending is going to remain low, and they are already closing some of those high-cost plants. Green Plains announced this week that they're closing a plant out in Virginia. Now, Pam, I made the comment when I got that word that they're closing that plant. I said, you know, it's tough enough in the ethanol business right now without having to move corn from the Midwest all the way out to Virginia to make ethanol out of it. We are seeing which plants are most efficient and can still make money in some tough times. Those plants are, it's becoming pretty obvious out in the marketplace, isn't it?
Well, and then they're being snapped up by Valero and others. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one not so far from me that has been closed down at Lakota and then bought by Valero, and another one also. So, you know, that's an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely it's an issue. But, hey, Jim, we get the final RVOs, the renewable volume obligations, at the end of this month, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't, you know, Tyson would know for sure, probably, but I don't expect any major changes from the initial indications that EPA made.
Yeah, Tyson?
I don't know for sure. I can never be too sure when I wake up each morning in Washington, D.C. But I think the expectation is those numbers will be finalized as they were proposed earlier this year.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Okay, let's move on to the situation between the U.S. and China. Brian talked about it in Markets Now. What I think the market's expectations are that when we see President Trump and President Xi get together at the end of the month, Jim, that there will be some sort of a framework agreement result. Is even that expecting too much?
No, I don't think so. If we don't even have a framework agreement, then I'm pushing the final resolution well into 2019, and the next G20 is in June in Japan. Yeah. So, but it's above and beyond what they announce, if anything, beyond the framework agreement. There may be some gimmies in the ag area, but as far as the report earlier this week in the Financial Times, which was proven inaccurate, that we were going to announce an ease on any further tariffs. I mean, that goes against Trump, you know, 101 trade strategy, that he likes leverage and he wants that $257 billion additional tariffs hanging out there, whether it's right or wrong strategy.
Yeah.
Trump 101 says to keep that out there. So that's why Wilbur Ross, who I think was accurate this time, was saying it's impossible to have all this done by January. And I think the market, especially soybean traders, had a dose of reality of they apparently some thought that, as you said at the beginning, thought this was all going to be said and done at the G20 summit. There's just no odds for that.
Right. Tyson, any holes in Jim's description of what's going on here?
No, I think the fog is lifting, and I think the clouds are clearing. There's a lot of folks in this town that thought that this would be a long-lasting, I've heard, the new normal in terms of a permanent sort of managed trade situation with China and making all sorts of dire predictions. I think we are on a path where relations are thawing. I generally agree that what we can expect December 1st when they have lunch or dinner or maybe supper, that there will be some type of announcement made on an agreement for a framework. Now, yeah, there's a lot of sticking points to get through when you're talking about the two world's largest economies. I think China has incentive to end this as well. You know, we are the world's largest consumer market, a mammoth mm-hmm. consumer market. This market's pretty hot right now. So to me, Chip, the thing to watch as well is when the 232 and 301 tariffs are lifted. Yeah. Even, you know, we have a USMCA agreement now.
Right.
But those tariffs still exist between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. And so the key to me will be not so much when the agreement is announced. That's certainly a positive sign. But when the tariffs actually start to come off.
Yeah.
Because as we've seen with Canada and Mexico, they're still not off. And I can promise you that Congress is not going to ratify that agreement or, you know, sort of shout Hosanna until those tariffs are lifted. Because I think across the board, any number of industries, the agreement announcement's fine. But until those reciprocal tariffs are lifted, that's the key.
Yeah, Tyson, next time that you're on, remind me to share my programming notes with you before we go on the air, because I was going to let everybody get all built up over this. Yeah, it looks like we're going to see progress over it. And then in the next segment, I was going to bring some reality back to it and talk about those Section 232 and 301 tariffs, because that is really the sticking point. And this, we've been waiting for China to make the first move. Well, the U.S. could make the first move and lift those Section 232 tariffs on steel and aluminum, couldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And look, there's other things here, right? I mean, you know, are we going to let vessels sail through the Spratly Islands in the South China Sea? The WTO, you know, the U.S. has withheld appointing a U.S. member to the appellate body because I think, rightfully, there's some changes that need to occur at the WTO for how China classifies itself as a developing economy.
Okay.
And I love 1993 and 1994, but this is not 1993 and 1994. It's not even 2001, and it's a joke that they're still considered or they consider themselves a developing economy within the context of the WTO.
Pam,
do you think President Trump and his trade team will hold off lifting the metal tariffs to Canada and Mexico until they get a vote on the USMCA in Congress?
I think it has to go the other way, Jim. They won't get a vote in Congress
until
those tariffs are lifted.
But when do you see then a vote in Congress next year?
I think certainly the cherry blossoms will have blossomed and perhaps we'll be planning sort of our Memorial Day picnics before that happens.
Wow.
I just think it's a new Congress. They have to get organized. I candidly think the majority of House Democrats have to figure out how they're going to handle this. There's a lot of members that have talked both sides of the track when it comes to trade and when it comes to our trading relationship both with Canada and Mexico.
Tyson, I think you nailed it right there when you talk about the new House members and I on both sides of the aisle, because watching these people get their first introduction to the House and to the process in D.C., the wide eyes and the looks of what have I gotten myself into are absolutely priceless. I want to talk about that a little bit, because there's a lot of new people in the House, and it's going to make for some tough sledding over the next couple of months in Congress. We'll be back with more of the Free For All.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Have you entered the Ag Explore Truck Sweepstakes? You could win a Ford F-150 Raptor. And since only farmers are eligible, the odds are in your favor. Visit TruckSweeps.com and enter by December 26. 8 semifinalists will win valuable prizes. And one lucky farmer will take delivery of a 2019 Ford Raptor. Enter the Ag Explore Truck Sweepstakes and see complete rules at TruckSweeps.com. No purchase necessary.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-498-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-498-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-498-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
We're AgriTalk, powered by Farm Journal, the name you've trusted since 1877.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody, and the free-for-all. We've got Tyson Redpath from the Russell Group, Pam Johnson from Iowa, and Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Pam, I asked you a question in the last segment, didn't get your answer to it. You deal a lot with trade issues, with your responsibilities with Mazol and your responsibilities with the NCGA and everything. What do you think about the idea of questioning China's, like Tyson did and like I did earlier, should we be questioning China's trade status as a developing economy?
Well, this is a complex issue. So, yes, we should. But there are other things we should do also. And, you know, just building off of the last sobering discussion with Tyson and Jim in the last segment, mm-hmm. I think this is a reality check for all of us to take off our rose-colored glasses and thinking that trade wars are easy to win.
Yeah.
And I think Jim brought up a very good point at the very beginning about what is even this going to look like post-trade war. We are not going to go back to the world that we once knew. You know, tariffs are going to escalate. We know that. And without a trade deal, Ag Resources has said that my bean price is going to go down another $1.35, which that makes it in the short term $6.50 and below. That's short term.
Yep.
I think the biggest concern is long term, as Tyson talked about. The resolution for this is not going to be easy. It's not going to be quick. So if we've got all of this grain and pork and every ag product, cotton, everything, tucked away and all dressed up and no place to go, what's that going to mean not just for now, but what's that going to mean for next summer? We got guys stuffing soybeans in plastic bags here.
Yeah.
And storage is tight. Mm-hmm. And if we just tuck it away thinking things are going to get better and the prices are going to go up and China and the U.S. are going to get together and talk right away and this is all going to be better, it's not true. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to do? How are we going to manage that risk? Yeah. And I think talking about should China be labeled as a developing country or developed country? Well, you know, we can't decide what China's going to do, but we as the U.S. can decide what we're going to do. So we need an appellate judge at the WTO. I was just there 2 weeks ago. Our representatives from the U.S. can't act without it. If we don't like what's going on, then for God's sakes, let's fix it.
Yep.
Let's not just sit around and complain. And that's when I get really frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah. When we've got the ability to fix something and we aren't. That's when the frustration level does kick up. No question about it. So, yeah, you know, Tyson, Jim, one of the things that caught my eye when we talk about long-term impacts of the trade relationships that we've got with China. This last week, we learned that some Chinese importers that China and Russia are talking about expanding the area from which China will accept wheat. Well, if they're looking at that, if they can grow corn in China, in Russia and Ukraine, and they can grow winter wheat and spring wheat in Russia and Ukraine, they can grow more soybeans in Russia and Ukraine. And Tyson, I'm just, you know, China's going to be looking for some alternative sources, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, trade flows have changed and adjusted.
Yeah.
You know, articles out this week continuing to discuss how we've got beans now going to South America because mm-hmm. further processed products are going to China out of those traditional growing regions, Canada even. Though, you know, look, I remain optimistic that the U.S., we need to get through the next couple of months. I'm not saying that everything will go back to being the way it was. And maybe it shouldn't, because remember, there are some things that that are industries, and even I always say this on your show, Chip, but there's other commodities in agriculture that sure would like to see China, improve and live up to what it committed to under the WTO.
Exactly.
So, I think we need to get through the next couple of months. I think, things are looking more positive. Work to reestablish those relationships. I think we will, when it's all said and done, continue to be a big supplier to China of a lot of agricultural commodities. Well, I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to be the same, but I think we will continue to be a big supplier.
Yeah, there's enough demand coming out of China. They're going to need multiple sources of that, of those supplies, no question about that.
Right.
Jim, we don't have a whole lot of time here, but I got to ask you, buddy, what do you think it's like being a brand new member of the House?
Well, I just emailed my good friend David Wasserman of the Cook Political Report asking, how many new members are we going to have in the House? He said 92 to 93, 31 Republicans and 61 to 62 Democrats. He sees a net gain of about 37, 38 on the Democratic side. That means a lot of education, Chip, and takes you well into the second quarter of 2019 before you get any efficiency, if that's a word for Congress.
Yeah. It is just mind-blowing that we've got 90-some new members of the House walking into this situation. And when you look at what's happening on the Democrat side, some of those new House members, they're ready to square off against Pelosi, aren't they?
Well, I think that's good. I think that's good to have spirited debate, and it forces at least a discussion of it rather than a dictate. And I like that. And we do need the new type of people coming into Congress. All of color. I think 23% of all the members of Congress are going to be female, which I think is another positive development. So change is good as far as I'm concerned in Congress.
We got to sign off here, though. We're not going to be together next week. So, guys, I got to wish you a happy Thanksgiving right now. Pam, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same to you.
All right,
same
Jim.
To you.
Jim,
yep,
happy Thanksgiving. Tyson, thank you so much for stepping in today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Tyson. All right. Hey, come back this afternoon for AgriTalk After the Bell. I'm going to be talking with Robert Lowry from Eastern Nebraska. And Monday on AgriTalk, we've got Matt Karstens from Land O'Lakes. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week on AgriTalk.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
It's time to get dirt rich with new Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn seed treatment. The increase in microbial activity in the soil helps get more nutrients to the plant, and you get an average 3.8 bushel per acre yield increase over the original Poncho Votivo, all with the trusted insect and nematode protection you're used to. So be dirt rich, because that's smart. Ask your seed dealer for the new Poncho Votivo 2.0 today. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.